right, so let's start with your names, and please spell them.
Rue Trimble, R-O-O-T-R-I-M-B-L-E.
Okay, so Rue is how you say that.
Yep, like Kanga.
And you are?
Susan Hanna.
Okay.
H-A-N-N-A.
Okay. All right, and you're with the Rue Pod.
Yep.
Rue's Pod. What makes it poddish?
The shape and the URL that I found that was available. But the shape, that, you know, it's the pod.
Pod has always been an important word in our lives also.
Yeah, we're always talking about pea pods, and that's like our pet name for each other.
So are you an item, a couple, husband, wife, what?
Partners.
Partners, yeah.
Okay.
Long-term partners.
I understand that. I dated my wife for 30 years of the marriage.
We're almost there.
So, how'd this come about? What got you started on this path?
I've always been a vehicle person. I sort of cut my teeth on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family built, not my whole family, but a lot of my brothers, I have seven brothers, and two of them actually brought bicycles to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them are involved in the bicycle stuff in one way or another.
Okay. Where are you based out of? Where do you live?
Down the road here in Shutesbury, Mass.
Okay.
Right, 25 minutes from here. So.
What are these bicycles? Would anybody recognize them?
Yeah. The most commercialized one was called the Kestrel.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first molded one-piece composite bike frame.
Oh, okay.
So, and my brother.
Very light.
Yeah, my brother got the patent on that and licensed it to Kestrel.
Okay.
Which is quite lucrative, actually.
Oh, good.
But that's all done now.
And what do you do in daily life?
What did he do?
What do you do?
Oh, I do architectural metalwork mostly. And
for buildings and such?
Yeah, I wish I had a better word for it, but it's mostly interior stuff, chandeliers, bathroom fixtures, custom stuff for mostly New York City lofts and things like that.
Oh, I see.
Pretty fancy stuff.
Yeah,
the architect designed things and things that I designed in conjunction with them.
Okay, so to give a building a signature feel, Art Deco or modern or
sometimes and some, you know, it's whatever what the architect's trying to get, and they can't get a production one.
Right.
I make a lot of fancy door handles.
Mm-hmm.
Or door pulls or cabinet pulls or things like that, but the architect wants everything just to be perfect.
So do you run a foundry or a welding shop? Or
I have pretty extensive fabrication facilities, which she uses as well, but also a pretty complete machine shop.
So all that machine metalwork I saw on your car here, stuff you did?
Yep.
Okay.
Every bit of it.
Okay.
I've ordered a couple things, like the steering rack.
Mm-hmm.
It was a race car company, Woodward Steering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, semi-custom thing that I ordered, and everything else pretty much I made. Nice nuts and bolts.
Actually, a friend of mine, Mike Scully, was praising the welding work.
Yeah. Well, I basically learned the aluminum welding on that. So. The next one will be a lot better.
Well, you still saw art in that. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, okay, so how did you get started on building the Rue Pod? Rue's Pod.
It is just Rue Pod. You were right.
No, not
yeah.
plural. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. I guess I decided on a few parameters. First, I wanted the side-by-side seating because I felt...
Look at you in doing your own vehicle. Are you looking for the XPRIZE or motivated by the XPRIZE or something else going on?
I was thinking about the XPRIZE a little bit until I read the rule book and decided that it was over my head with the business part of it.
Okay.
The technical part, I didn't feel like it was over my head at all, but that they want business plans and $5,000 up front and all the stuff that I didn't want to do. But I was thinking about that, but more I was thinking about, you know, like I said on my website and other places, I was dragging my new Beetle around, driving with just me in it a lot of the time, and that weighs 10 times as much as I do, basically. So 9 parts of my gallon of gas are going to drive the car around, and that stuck in my craw. So,
and you thought you could make something lighter, but still strong enough and safe enough.
I remember saying to myself a lot that I don't want to compare this vehicle to a car because I don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a hell of a lot better than walking or riding your bike or even riding your motorcycle.
Right.
But those are the things you should compare it to and not your 4,000-pound car that has every creature comfort.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So what's the mission for this vehicle when it comes to fruition?
Well, there's two areas, I guess. One is that I want to have a cool vehicle to drive around that I made.
All right.
So that's...
Wait a minute, you got a chick. What are you doing?
That's the realistic part. The fantasy part, and I hope that it actually isn't fantasy, but I want to find some company to sponsor me to innovate, make cars, make different, you know, the hybrid one, the electric one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have talents with the design, seat of the pants engineering. I'm not an engineer, but I have a lot of seat of the pants sense.
School of hard knocks.
But the design part, I think that I'm pretty skilled at, and I think that I can make really cool little cars that people like just because they're cool. And people accept them just because they're cool and not because they're fuel, you know, that's a hard sell. Until gas costs $10 a gallon, people need some other reason to like little cars.
All right, so when did this project start? How long ago?
I was trying to figure that out. It really is about a year and a half ago, but I really didn't start building till last summer.
Oh, okay.
So, and I've fitted into the day job. Right now, the day job is sort of getting the shaft a little bit, but they're somewhat understanding, my clients. But there are door handles that are waiting to be made.
I see. So, are you a one-man band shop, or do you have employees, or...?
I do all this sort of work myself. Susan works in the shop and does her sculpture, and she helps with some of my business, but mostly all the...
We were doing the architectural work together, but we sort of branched into him working on the car and...
Yeah.
Me doing my own thing.
Yeah.
But so you do welding, you do casting, you do...
No casting. I've done casting, but there's none on the car.
None on the car. Do you do casting?
No.
Okay.
No, so, all fabrication for the most part.
Okay. Yeah, for my architectural job, I make patterns and have stuff cast. And I've played around with casting stuff myself, but the foundry is a pretty sort of big thing that...
Skill unto itself.
Well, not so much the skill as the sort of facility. It's rather elaborate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a year and a half ago, you got the itch, and the itch started to become reality a year ago.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about the journey.
Well, this is when I sort of defined a few parameters, which my friends that I talked to my car about with gave me endless trouble about, and we'll see, but I decided really pretty early on that I wanted to be diesel.
Yeah, okay. Where did that decision come from? What went into making that decision?
I wanted to fuel it with biodiesel.
Uh-huh.
Or SVO. And
SVO?
Straight vegetable oil.
Ah, okay.
And I thought that... The whole car concept's more about being efficient than what fuel you're using,
mm-hmm.
but I still like the diesel thing.
Okay. The efficiency, obviously you're looking at drag.
Drag and weight.
And weight. Okay.
Yeah. And so I chose the diesel engine. I found the smallest water-cooled multi-cylinder diesel engine that there is.
Where is it? What is it?
It's a Kubota Z482, which is 480 cc's.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts out 13 horsepower at 3600 rpm.
Right. You have continuously variable transmission.
I do. It's a
double cone.
Yeah. Belt. It's a Comet Industries 94C Duster, mm-hmm. they call it. And they put that in snow machines that are up to about 40 horsepower, so it's kind of overbuilt for my engine, but I've chose it because of the wide gear ratio that it has.
Okay. Suspension components, shocks, that sort of thing, springs?
The shocks are the rear shocks off of a Harley touring bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose them because they're coil and air shocks, and you can adjust the air. And with such a light vehicle and such a weighty driver, when I'm only in it, it goes like that unless you stiffen up the driver's side shocks.
Okay.
So we got adjustable shocks, and they seem to be working pretty good. I might get an aftermarket Harley shock that's got a little bit more spring rate to it.
Okay.
I just got it together like a week and a half ago to the point where I could test the shocks out.
Okay, and the fronts?
That's what's on the front and the back.
Rear. Okay. And it looks like you're using all new parts. You're not going after the junkyard to find this stuff.
Off of eBay I got the hubs, which are off a Polaris Predator, the brake calipers, also from there, but mostly it's all new stuff.
Right.
The hubs are the exception.
What sort of aluminum tubing are you using?
The whole frame is either, there's added bits here and there of different stuff, but mainly it's 1.5 inch round by 1/8 inch wall. 6061.
Okay, which is an aircraft aluminum, if I remember.
It's a sort of general use, high strength aluminum. It's nothing special.
Okay.
They use it on airplanes and they use it on boats. It's pretty sort of universal.
Yeah, well understood.
Yeah.
Characteristics.
It's understood characteristics, and you can get it in the most shapes and sizes. And
okay.
Diameters and all that sort of thing. And the original intention was always to have the frame heat treated after it was all welded together, which I've been talking to my friend Doug Milliken, who said, you know what, I think you might be overbuilding it enough where he's a car engineer guy. He says, like, you're overbuilding it enough that you're probably going to be okay without heat treating it after you weld it, because of course welding anneals the aluminum and makes it a lot weaker.
Do you use like a TIG weld?
Yeah, all the frame, it's all TIG welded with the AC.
Okay.
So with using 4046 rod, if you're interested.
Somebody out there will be. And how are you financing this?
Out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
Yeah. I'm hoping to change that. and actually, I've, in a small way, I've got several sponsors already. I'm Grease Car, which is a...
Yes.
Grease Car?
Yes, I do. Can't think of his name offhand, but... He came to the Tour de Soul several times.
Right. They gave me most of a system for... So I can run SVO.
Okay.
And the outfit out of Tennessee called Rebel Wire gave me a wiring harness. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've got so far, but I'm working hard on the aluminum company where I got, probably $2,000 worth of aluminum. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for them to sponsor me. That's the problem is I can't get a hold of the right person there.
Well, you don't have the body to put the sticker on yet. which brings up, so what will the skin be?
The skin, everywhere that's not clear, will be aluminum sheet.
Okay.
And the interesting point on the aluminum sheet is that the rest of the car is made out of 6061 T6, but the sheet metal, in order to do the forming on it that I have to do, is 6061 T4.
Okay, and the T is the treatment level, right?
Right, right. The T4 is
more
bendable.
You can't
like break over a piece of sheet metal of 6061 without it cracking down the... Break means, pull the,
Yes, a bending brake.
Right.
The tool.
Right. So, that's an interesting little side note. That, I could get the T6 and anneal it where I wanted to bend it, but they sell this for that purpose.
Yeah, okay.
When they want to do some forming operation.
So, do you have a body plan? I don't remember from the website. Oh, actually, I do. It's a sort of a black... Pretty boxy looking thing, right?
They're single axis curves. It's from the rear view, it's kind of hexagonal, but from a three-quarter view, it's really pretty curvy.
Yeah, there's the bend, but the panels themselves
panels are all single axis curves,
right,
except for the windshield, which is compound.
Is that a standard windshield? Something off a Chevy?
It's off of a Volkswagen New Beetle, but I'm cutting the about a foot off either side.
Okay.
And I have ruined one already. Hopefully I won't ruin the next one. They're about $170. So, I did it for practice a lot since I was sort of overconfident the first time. But there's a lot of body details that are going to take a lot of time to get.
Okay, so half a year thinking it up, a year so far working on it. What's the rest of the arc? From here forward, how much time do you think? Another year?
I don't know why I wouldn't have it like a regular driving vehicle by the next event, like the next 1 gallon challenge.
So a year?
Yeah, but... I plan to have it driving around Chutesbury inspectable, but not the details worked out, before it gets cold.
Okay. So November, December,
that's very realistic.
Okay.
So, the end of September.
Now, is this, you said it, some of your business is suffering maybe a little bit on this, but is this a nights and weekends? Is this every afternoon, every morning, all day Saturday and Sunday?
It's my business is so variable that, I fit it in wherever I can.
Okay, so when there's nothing on the order sheet, this is what you're doing.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, it's been just this, but I can't keep that up.
Okay. So you've been very quiet, Susan. What's your relation to this Motley project?
Mostly encouragement, I think, and
wonderful support.
I hope. Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in cars and this sort of thing, transportation, or the...
Definitely in modes of transportation. It's not that I want to build a car or anything like that, but I'm seriously concerned about the impact that we're having, and I think that the idea of building a car that's requires very little material and that's fully recyclable is critical. So I definitely was also the voice of safety and worry and saying, you know, how is this, you know, sort of in devil's advocate mode, how is this going to be okay? You know,
very valuable.
I put my kid in this, you know, and there were a lot of back and forth debates about that. And I think that's sort of how the concept of not comparing it to a car developed was, you know, and took me to understand that, okay, I can't compare this to a car, it's true.
Okay. So how does the mission of this vehicle differ from that of a car?
The mission?
Well, you know, if you're going to sell this thing, I need to buy it. I need to buy it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to buy this as a cross-country vehicle.
Right.
I'm not going to buy this to put me and three kids in.
Right.
It's, you know,
I personally think, and I don't know where Ruth stands on this, but I think it's like the perfect urban car. I mean, I don't see why there should be any vehicles in any city that... Unless, really, you're driving around with a whole bunch of passengers, why?
Yeah, but for example, this is not a cab.
No, this is not a cab, but absolutely there's no reason why people shouldn't be leaving their cars outside of the city if they must drive them to begin with and have, you know, available.
So it's a commuter car.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's sort of my take on it.
Shopping car, you know, go to the supermarket.
Yeah. Every time that I take my car out and I don't have my kids with me and I'm going to get, you know, something at the drugstore or the grocery store, I think, you know, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I can't ride, you know, we live in a really hilly area and it would be very, very difficult to ride a bike, and I thought, okay, what about a scooter? You know, I've gone through all the things in my head, but, you know, we don't live in Hawaii where it's a
single... And we're a little too far away from our shopping area.
Yeah, for driving, we're about 20, 25 minutes from where we shop. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of guilt involved in taking a trip with one person in a car to go pick up one small thing.
Yeah.
So, or one small kid, for that matter. So that's kind of my take on it. But I do think the whole sort of urban, and I did grow up much of the time in New York City and Chicago as well. So I don't understand the whole concept of, you know, having massive SUVs on the road. I don't get it. So,
like every other vehicle in New York City.
In New York is, right, the bigger. So.
Anything I'm forgetting to ask here? Some parts of the story that need to be known?
Hmm. What do you think?
I think one of the hardest things for Rue has been sort of trying to formulate what is it, why am I building this car?
Yeah.
I know that I've been asking this question since the beginning, sort of more to prompt him to sort of think through what's the goal, what do you want to do once you have it?
I'm still working on my response to that.
Well, only because I knew that his goal wasn't just to have the car.
Yeah.
You know, I knew he didn't want to mass produce the car, and I knew he didn't want to sell the patent for the car. He's done the patent thing with bikes, and that didn't turn out so well. So I really wanted to hear what the goal was. So I think him formulating sort of the more think tank sort of concept.
Oh, yeah, the value of you know, something that's not an Echo.
Right.
You know, it's why.
Right, and I think that's been one of the biggest things for Rue is figuring out, you know, what is it that he wants to do. He gets his car done, like you asked, what does he want to do?
I'm convinced there's some Whole Foods or something out there that will just love to put on their website, you know, here's his latest creation, and go look at the blog and you'll see every detail, and it's all in the public domain. And car companies, you want it, Joe building his car over here, you want it, it's all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow make enough money off of the PR to be able to keep doing it. So that's what.
Anything else you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
Okay.